you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us in tonight's comic book club. Here are your hosts, Fecal Page, Justin Tyler, and Alex Salmon.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
And that's our Battle of the Booth. Booth Man!
Booth Man! Booth Man is back!
Big applause tonight.
Very quickly, this past weekend it was Booth Man's birthday.
Yeah! This past weekend it was Pete LePage's birthday!
Also, less applause for that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if you guys can tell, but we went to San Diego Comic-Con.
My Hyatt room key, I was there too.
Yeah, right.
It's true, we left Pete in the room the whole time.
Yeah. I don't walk around with my press badge.
So I have
not taken it off.
No, it's ridiculous.
Shower.
Let it go.
Shower.
Let
still
it
there.
Go.
Still yeah, there. My heart's still there.
Yeah, there's a little bit of shampoo in the back here.
Ew. we had a hell of a time at Comic-Con.
Yeah, we're going to talk to you lots, of course, about it across the show. But one quick little story for you guys.
We were at, Alex and I were at an after party in Jim Lee's hotel room.
It was 3 in the morning. I was like, I'm going to call it quits, guys. We got a big day tomorrow.
At a certain
Not
point,
these guys.
At a certain point, Alex is drinking vodka, warm vodka out of glass. I was drinking Jack Daniels. Very, very drunk.
Very important detail.
I was very, very drunk, and apparently, I don't quite remember.
Yeah, so just to set the scene, also not very important, but I'm standing over here by a door. Justin is sort of like limping down a hallway. Jim Lee has just gone to a door and then comes back and is walking this way past Justin, and Justin is like,
Jim, you're the king of San Diego.
At
what
this point,
an asshole.
And Jim Lee is like, and walks away.
Yeah, way to represent.
I really believe that. I really believe that.
Yeah. Anyway, we had a good time.
Yeah, we definitely.
So
did.
That was pretty exciting.
Still
but
exhausted.
We are excited to be back here in New York, and we're very excited about the guests that we have on the show today. Little note: Tom Brevoort, who was a scheduled guest, is not going to be here.
Yeah. So don't be too sad. He's not here.
That's the end of that story. He'll be on at some point.
Yeah, we're going to be joined by a guest later, a friend of the show, Matt Donnelly, will be here. He's giving notes to the team that performed
he's
before.
He's having dinner with Tom Brevoort.
Yeah, and then he's going to join us.
So that's very exciting. But we are very excited about the guest that we do have. Ladies and gentlemen, Bob Jones! Yeah!
DC represented, but Marvel was a no-show.
Yeah. We were going to get into the issues today.
Too bad. I was ready to battle.
You could. There still may be a bet.
We could take it to the mud.
Now you can trash him as much as you want. It won't matter. I'm going to take myself.
Yeah, finally.
I'm still there.
So, you are the director,
editor of Collector Editions.
Of Collector Editions. I asked you backstage, but I still forgot that.
You're the director of DC things into comics. Stop me anytime.
I'm on my business card.
So what does it mean to be the editor of Collected Editions?
What it means is that I take books that have already come out either last week or 40 years ago and put them into interesting trade paperbacks or archives or other types of collections, basically repackaging the old stories so that the kids can enjoy them today.
So you're going to have to rewrite Countdown from the beginning. Is that true?
How do you determine what ends up in a trade? Because not every single story ends up in a trade.
Well, yeah. I mean, if it's a series, we'll put every issue in, like Teen Titans. Everything's going to be collected, unless there's a fill-in or something like that, in which case we might pull that out. But when it's a collection of like greatest stories or something like that, we have a basic theme to go by. I pick out way too many stories. We run them by my boss, the Collected Editions, which he's the group editor, who takes it up to, actually it goes all the way up to Paul Evans. And we cut and add and cut and add until we have a book.
Has there ever been a situation where a writer was like, whoa, where's my story?
Yeah, and there were also a few miscredited things here and there. Or
Well, we're glad to bring it up.
Now, what's been your most like proudest moment that you've like, I put this together, this is a great collection?
Well, it hasn't come out yet, but DC Goes 8 is something I've been pushing for years. It's just Monkey Stories.
Nice!
Yeah, Monkey Stories. We love Monkey Stories. There's one scene where Jonathan Kent gets naked and sits on a wet monkey, and that's all I'm going to say.
Wow!
That is a tease right there. Also, the Joker Greatest Stories Ever Told, the Boner Story.
Boner Story.
You know it. We love it.
Well, for people who don't know, what's the Boner
it's
Story?
It's Batman number 66 from the 1950s. Back then, a boner was a mistake. It wasn't a boner, or at least I don't think it was.
What's a boner now? you can tell me.
I don't know. So throughout the entire story, the Joker must say boner about 20 times.
Wow.
His goal is to give Batman the greatest boner of all time.
I almost spit out my water.
I thought you were going to say something about having
and
a boner.
There's just a lot of phallic things going on throughout the story. There's lighthouses, Leaning Tower of Pisa, Robin slips on a greased Trojan horse.
Boner didn't mean something.
Probably not. I like to think that back then the editors, they had the comics code, which they kind of had to make stories for kids, but you know, they were also grown men. I kind of think they were having their own fun.
Yeah.
I like to read between the panels when I'm looking at a story.
Just a little clean erection fun, you know?
Better than dirty erection fun.
There's a number of different types of trades, I think, that are coming out now, which is a relatively new thing. You know, you had just simple collections, but now you have the showcases, you have the omnibuses, the premier hardcovers. How do you decide which story ends up as which?
Well, all the ones you mentioned are sequential stories, so they all go in. We did like Showcase Presents Batgirl. There weren't enough Batgirl stories, but then when we put every single appearance of Batgirl in there, it filled up the book. Those books are really a pain in the ass to work on. It's just that there are a lot of pages. Anyway,
come on in, Donnelly.
Matt Donnelly.
Yeah!
The most awkward entrance possible.
Next person that walks in the door gets to be on the show.
Do one of you have a quirk that I was supposed to guess?
Yeah. Can you guess it?
Yeah. Talk show.
Nice. You'd be surprised to know we've been talking about boners for the last 5 minutes.
Shocked.
Yeah.
Bob, Matt.
Yeah.
How's it going, Trish?
He's in erection sciences.
And this is an intervention.
Put my boner into the joke.
Wow. Anyway, that's a joke.
Now, has there ever been times when you've gotten like hate mail where people are like, how could you not include this, or why would you include this?
Yeah, it makes me kind of sad, actually.
Aww. Thanks, Pete.
I stopped reading the message boards. People just don't realize that, you know, you only have 200 pages. You know, if you're going to do the greatest, like, for greatest Green Lantern stories ever told, I found this story. It was drawn by Gil Kane. It had Star Sapphire and Sinestro, and there was all kinds of love and drama and classic Gil Kane stuff. Nobody appreciated it. All they said on the website is, why is this here instead of this or this or this? You don't appreciate what I do, people.
Sorry. A sobering moment.
These books are about me.
Yeah. Well, Matt, what about you? What's going on?
I've just been on the message boards hammering away at Green Lantern. I'm just doing my improv show here, a bit, and I hopefully have a pilot in the New York Television Festival coming up. So I say hopefully I find out next week if I'm going to have Pete's in my pilot. Pete plays the part of Pete.
It was a stretch. I did a lot of research.
To be fair, that's what he does on this show, too. And now we have our first section, which we like to call the staff.
I like did make it the intro.
Yeah, good job. All right, first thing we're going to talk about is Trinity number 8. We've actually never talked about this on the show. I don't even think we talked about the first issue.
No, we didn't.
But what are you guys feeling about the series so far?
It's way better than Countdown. I think it's good. It started off well, got a little mystery going, and then getting into the themes of these three iconic characters. I think it's good.
Yeah. Plus, I like, and especially in this issue, they're really kind of breaking down, Superman, Wonder Woman, and Batman. Like, who they really are and what they mean to everyone they protect, which is kind of a cool thing to do in a comic, you know?
I'm waiting for the collected edition.
Do you not even read them until you get them for the...
If I know that I'm going to be working on the collected edition, then I usually just wait.
Really? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Is that hard to wait?
Sometimes.
Cool.
I think this is solid. I think it's good. You know, it's not a spectacular story by any means, and I don't mean that as a slam. It's just, yeah, this is a solid story. It's not changing the world. It's not changing the form in any way.
Not like these other comics.
Yeah, we'll get to some life.
Do you think it's more personal? Like it just makes you want to care about the characters more?
No.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Well, it's if you had looking back on 52, I think 52 is even better than we thought it was at the time, just because even when it had a terrible issue, it was still interesting. It was doing something different, and it felt exciting and new. And Countdown felt like this car crash that you were very slowly watching over the course of a year.
I believe you were also inside it. Yeah. You were in the car.
Yeah, yeah. And then this is fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's also not just...
What animal is this?
Huh?
What animal is on this page?
That's a wolf creature.
Yeah, wolf creature.
It's a... Yeah.
It goes hurrah, and I will.
Well, here's the thing. Hurrah. The car metaphor. If 52 is a NASCAR car, right, and Countdown is a car crash, then this is the car that gets you there on time.
Nice. The Studebaker.
Yeah.
The Studebaker of comics.
Well, I think that's, that it says a lot about the fact that it comes out weekly and it's solidly good.
Yeah.
There are some issues that are better than others, but I'm never upset that I picked it up.
The thing with those weekly, like, it's not like they wrote it this week. They wrote it a while ago. It's everyone's like, how do they do it? They write it in advance. Like, what? I don't know why, like, this
well,
should be
held up to do. I mean, with people
you still have to write a comic every week. It's not like, just because they wrote it in advance, suddenly it speeds up the process.
Well, but they got a head start on the whole thing. It's not like...
Sure.
I'm saying everyone's like, how did they get it done? He draws all these pictures this week. And he does it. He draws them before. He's more time.
No, he is. He's actually sitting in the comic book store, and
he draws every inch.
Yeah.
Every
just single. Finished up before I got this one.
Yeah. He looks like those guys who roll cigars at events. Yeah.
What is the feeling around the DC office?
Everyone seems to love it.
Yeah.
It's good. It has a focus as opposed to Countdown. It's just all over the place.
Countdown. I'm doing the collected edition on those, and the spines are really cool. They line up nicely, and the numbers are really cool. They look great on a bookshelf.
So
cool. Let's move on and talk about Uncanny X-Men number 500. What did you guys think about this issue?
Well, Justin hated it.
Underwhelmed.
Yeah.
It was. Everything seemed so tired. All the characters are like, Magneto's here, we gotta go get him. I know we're in San Francisco now, so it's different.
That's actual dialogue from the issue.
Yeah. The guy's face making, I looked at his face when you made that noise, and it was pretty accurate. I don't know if you can see.
Yeah.
His face is very...
Mm-hmm. No hurrah.
No hurrah in this guy at all. I don't want to keep him as a pet at all.
The first 5 pages, they just talk about their headquarters.
Yeah,
like,
it's...
Like,
yeah, it's like
yeah, it's a lot of talky. Then then there's some action, and I was excited because Cyclops threw Wolverine. I'm a sucker for that.
Colossus. Yeah, that part.
Is it like a super nerd to like update the blueprint to be like, oh, I gotta redraw my personal feeling of the headquarters.
Personal feeling. Well, they release books that have like schematics. They always do the Baxter Building for the Fantastic Four. They'll release a new like. Here's where Johnny's room is.
I like this. I disagree with you guys. I thought it was fun. It wasn't breaking new ground at all.
It was just a fun issue of X-Men, which I don't feel like it has been particularly fun in a very long time, because they've been like, everybody's dead, we all lost our powers.
Well, see, I feel like they have that layered on top of like, we're a team again. Let's fight some crime.
What voice do you think they're like, Pete?
I think it's more like, talky.
So they lost all their powers?
No, they
a
lost
bunch of their friends.
Yeah, they're endangered now. The X-Men, mutants are now endangered.
But now they're working with, like, the San Francisco cops.
Yeah.
So
they're
have,
private
like,
detectives. Come
it's
on.
Bullshit.
If
it's
you need a concept
stupid.
For something, just make
no,
them private
No, come on, I can
detectives.
See them sitting around the office and be like, listen, how do we get the X-Men going together? Yeah. Like, we'll make them like Magnum P.I.
Yeah.
Started with a drunk conversation where someone thought it was like, how can I get Wolverine? How can I get Wolverine to turn into his badge?
Yeah. There's gonna be
I don't know how it's going to happen, but it's going to be like, turning your badge, Wolverine.
Yeah.
Make it happen.
You're too much of a loose cannon, Wolverine. Popping your claws.
No, they're going to be like, you're too much of a loose cannon, Cannonball.
Oh!
They're
going
to have you right now.
That's
why I want
a badge on the costume.
Yeah.
Made funny cop outfits.
All right, let's move on. Talk about Ambush Bug number one. What do you guys think about this?
I thought this was a lot of fun. It's kind of meta comic, but if you read a lot of comics, you really enjoy what they're doing. I could see if someone would get confused by what's going on.
Year none, I was confused right off the bat.
Yeah, that's not a year.
Year none.
Well, you were saying that there's a joke in pretty much every panel.
Yeah, pretty much. The Chicago jokes, they were pretty funny at first. No, they ended them pretty quickly. The thing is, I think I was so distracted by all the Easter eggs in there, mm-hmm. because there's just a lot. And, you know, I find myself staring at Cheeks the Toy Wonder, like, wow, this is great. Hey, look, there's Amazing Man. And I just kind of, like, lose track of what I'm actually reading in the story.
And if you don't know who those people are,
then
you
you're
don't
just
get
like,
it at all.
Yeah, that's my big problem with it as well, is I literally had no idea what was going on in this comic most of the time. You know, there were definitely jokes that I got, but I felt like there's such an effort to pack it with these Easter eggs that...
Not actual Easter eggs, by the way. Yeah,
which I was disappointed when I bought it.
Yeah. Loves
I love eggs.
Easter eggs are usually chocolate.
FYI.
Wow. Disappointed
coming
again.
Coming from the Jewish guy and lecturing you on Easter.
Thanks for saying Jewish guy like that.
He doesn't say it like that. He doesn't call himself like, I'm the Jewish guy.
What?
You guys are slowly talking like that X-Men comic.
We're doing a lot of voice work on the show tonight. It's
there's a number of voice casting people in the audience tonight, just so you guys know.
Yeah.
Is that like a thing in the comics, like put out a comic that's for comic like insiders, like to have that many Easter eggs and jokes, or is it really funny to someone in the business?
It's funny to like
they've been
you
doing
guys
a lot lately. But, you know, they don't distract from the story. Like, Brad Messler, he does it all the time.
Yeah.
Even Jeff Johns, you'll see a lot of old characters or just something in the background that's pretty cool. But it really doesn't distract from the story at all, where this is all the story.
Deadpool does a good job of kind of bouncing back and forth.
Yeah. Although his phone conversation with Jim Warren was great.
Yeah.
That was pretty fun.
Well, I wanted to see more of that. He has, in the book, he has a conversation with Gene Waring that essentially kicks off identity crisis, you know, so it's tying it into this event. That sort of thing I thought was amusing if it happened throughout, that he's causing all these big events or something like that.
Right.
But you were laughing because it's not amusing.
I was not amused, I would say. Yeah. I was just like, oh, I get it. It's too insider. We already said it.
Yeah. All right. Would you say pick it up?
Yes.
Sound.
All right, let's
run.
It's DC by it.
Just want to talk about Hack/Suicide Girls Annual. Now, Pete, you spent all weekend hanging out with Tim Seeley. How'd that go for you?
I wasn't all weekend. There's one day where I didn't get
touchy-feely
to see
touchy-feely Tim Seeley.
Tim Seeley is the author and sometimes artist of Hack/. Pete is in love with it.
He just does good work, and I appreciate that. So sometimes...
You're talking about his comic work or his
yeah.
conversational drinking work? That you spent so much time.
His combos.
Oh, okay, cool.
Anyways,
can we talk about this conversational drinking work?
Yeah.
I know. Is that weird for you?
No, I think you had a good time.
Thanks.
We looked up at this party, and Pete was in a picture with Kyle Baker.
Ooh.
In a top hat. Kyle Baker was in a top hat and white glove, and Pete was like,
I think that's a normal reaction.
More of what it was looking over, and it was like somebody was like, hey, can we get a picture of you too?
Yeah.
Then it wasn't even like Pete was like, can I get a picture with you, Kyle Baker? Anyway, that's all done.
Yeah, it was.
So Hackslash, Suicide Girls, apparently, I didn't know this before, is a website.
Yeah. I
mean, where you can see.
I don't read comics, but I do. Troll the internet for tattooed girls who take the tops off.
That's what the site is. Tattooed girls who take the tops off. And so they crossed over. Smartly.
Yeah. I think it's perfect. You know, it's Suicide Girls is this alt kind of cheeky, no pun intended thing, and Hackslash is
fun,
the same
totally
thing.
Yeah.
I'm like 70 years old.
Yeah. Cheeky.
Come down.
Charming.
This is fun. This is a fun annual. It's a fun issue. It's a done-in-one story, and I liked it a lot.
Yeah, it was really good.
There's one thing at the end we should probably talk about.
What's that?
Which is Cassie Hack, the main character, in order to get in with the Suicide Girls, does a photo shoot with the Suicide Girls. So at the end of the issue, they have...
Oh, boy. This is going to get racy.
Yes.
Casey Hack's photo shoot.
All right, so...
And now that,
yeah, so...
Now that Alex is obsessed with nude comic books...
Right. Yeah, there's like a 10-year-old in the audience. I didn't look.
We have...
10-year-old, this is what a vagina is.
So, Alex...
Hey, 10-year-old!
To be fair, not really.
Wow.
I mean, honestly, I don't know. I don't know, but from what I've heard,
it's in the right place.
It's pretty accurate.
So I was talking to Tim about this issue, and he was saying he was he wanted to do a crossover because the Suicide Girls had talked to him about doing a crossover issue, and he was kind of didn't want to do it because they wanted him obviously to have a photo shoot with Cassie, but he was kind of worried about if he did have Cassie take her top off, you know, would that upset people? He didn't want to upset the fans or anything like that. So he did it in a way where it wasn't like for the photo shoot, like, woohoo! It was more like she had to do it to get to the bad guy.
Did she cry?
Like, no, it made perfect sense.
I'm sure it took a really long meeting to figure that out.
Yes.
How can
we make this make sense in a comic book world?
Yeah.
We'll make it about solving the principle.
Yeah.
Would you say pick this up?
Yes. Great series, great book.
Cool. All right, let's move on. Talk about Superman 678. This is the second issue of James Robinson's run. What do you guys think about this? And also, you want to say something?
I love James Robinson. I love Starman. I say this every day when I wake up in the morning that I love Starman. It's a thing. This, I'm still, it's not very good. I don't like it as much. I'm very sad.
Well, and you talked to James Robinson.
At the con, yeah, I had to not say that I don't like it.
You guys have
awesome.
So sold out. Everyone you bring up, you're like, and we were drinking with them. It's like you've lost all your journalistic integrity.
Like, how much did we have before?
Yeah.
My question.
You had, like, on a scale of 1 to 10, you had 1, and you lost it.
Big loss.
Well, we could get back up to a 1.
Totally.
So you don't think
you were at Comic-Con, I was bartending at the gin mill. That's all I'm saying.
it doesn't, like, Starman was so good because it was very detail-oriented, very nuanced. This seems a little all over the place. And maybe it's just they're slowly revealing all these things, but it seems, like, there's all a huge backstory about Atlas in this, and I don't know the character, I don't like him.
Yeah.
He's a villain.
I was kind of a little disappointed with how they did the flashbacks. It was kind of nice to see the old school work, which was cool, but I just wish they had done it maybe at the end or at the beginning. I just felt like, in between everything that was going on, was a little confusing.
Yeah. It just, I don't have as big of a problem with it. I think, again, it's a fine story. Nothing too spectacular about it. It's just, I think the problem with Atlas is there doesn't seem to be any real conflict set up. You know, it's Atlas... Atlas says, I want to rule the world, but says it in a slightly more complicated way, so it seems like it's supposed to be smarter, and that's pretty much it. But it's not bad. I mean, the art's good, the writing is solidly done, but it's not breaking any new ground. It almost feels like he's killing a little bit of time until he gets to, a couple of months from now, they're going to be crossing over Superman, Action Comics, and Supergirl for the next 2 years.
With new Krypton and all, like, their Krypton as a planet is coming back and all this, it does feel like he's treading water until...
Yeah, a little bit. Well, have you been reading this?
First of all, it's DC, buy it. Why did Lois become such a bitch? She just has no patience for him and his little super stories anymore.
It's going to be wearing old a little bit.
I know, but it's just so not in character, I think.
What a bummer. Even Superman gets old, you know?
I know. Superman, you can't figure him doing all of his great things coming home to a bitchy wife.
Wow, yeah, that's true.
It would be a reason for the Fortress of Solitude, of course.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah, he's like, I have to go to the Fortress, and she's like, again to the Solitude. Yeah.
Are you going to go? Yeah. You see one.
Oh, nice.
Ooh,
that's great. She wouldn't be seeing one. Did you read, was it Superman, Batman?
Right.
Can I think? Yeah. She's bitchier than Lois.
Well, she's being controlled by some sort of
bitch device.
Bitch kryptonite.
That's actually 4 years from now, they're going to reveal the bitch device in the DC universe, and that's going to explain a lot of it.
Yeah.
Retro. I feel like everything's treading water until the bitch device gets
revealed. Guys, we have like one or two women who come to the show every week.
Yeah.
We could stop saying the word bitch.
It's Ask the Superman writer. He's not writing about his device.
Yeah, that's good.
Next week, there's going to be a bunch of suicide girls here, so who cares?
What? Is that true? Anyway, that's a great promise, though.
Yeah, come back next week. There'll be suicide girls.
The more you say it, the more likely it is to come true.
You only have to look into a mirror and say it 3 times, and then they appear. Did you know that?
I'll try that.
All right, let's go on and talk about Invincible number 51. This is, relatively speaking, a new direction for the series. What'd you guys think about it?
Well, I thought it was a lot kind of fast, like all of a sudden, bam, he's got a new outfit, and it's like, you know, his bros in there, like, I don't know, I felt like, I don't know, it answered a lot of questions too quickly. I also thought it was very sneaky the way they put, like, 50 small, and then, like, first issue, like, so someone, like, you know.
I wish there was even a little more of that in the book. I actually liked it a lot. It felt like a very good issue of Invincible. They are launching a new direction, relatively speaking, for the series, but I want to see it more like this is an issue a new reader could pick up and know exactly what's going on.
I thought that from the cover.
Yeah.
And then I started reading it, and I'm like, I don't know who any of these people are.
Right.
Yeah.
So you've never read Invincible before?
No.
And so you had no idea what was going on?
No.
It
kind of reminded me of the Incredibles a bit, maybe Flash, what they're doing with that now.
Yeah.
Family comics.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's what he's trying to do, but again, it's just picking up where the last issue left off, which is totally fine for continuing readers, but not great for new ones.
When superheroes change outfits and they always do this big rigmarole about like all that, I think that's stupid.
Yeah.
You're saying never change outfits?
No, change outfits, but why go to, like, he has to go to the tailor, and the tailor's like, here's why I'm taking out the knee pads, because you don't need them, because you're indestructible. It's like, yeah, no, the action of the story. I put on clothes every day. I don't need to see these guys. I do.
I'll believe it when I see it.
You believe it when I don't show it.
But if you were to stop, wearing your knee pads, I would ask you why.
Yeah, that's a good point. Very sensitive knee.
We're gonna move on. Talk about the latest issue of Batman: Gotham After Midnight, number 3, to be specific. I love this series.
It's fantastic.
It is so good.
Very good.
Not only is the writing great, and normally I'm half and half on Steve Niles' work, but the art is fantastic.
Yeah,
you have the most ridiculously over-the-top, scary Batman ever. Mm-hmm. He's just, most of the time, he's like this lurking demon with big, dark fangs. And it's really fun to look at.
Yeah.
It also feels a lot like Long Halloween to me. Just in the way that each issue, essentially, there's a new Batman villain coming in, and he's dealing with that, but there's also an overarching mystery. Have you been?
I want toys based on that.
Yeah.
That is beautiful. That Batman robot on the very last page is incredible. And the Batcave, too, is beautiful.
So, yeah.
There's this whole plot device where the main villain says to Clayface, you remember when you tried to absorb Batman, but it didn't work, he burst out of you. Well, why don't you try it with somebody not as strong? And so Clayface does, and then starts to absorb the entire city of Gotham.
Yeah, he's just grabbing people.
And grabbing people and eating them and stuff. And it just becomes as tall as a gigantic building. So Batman says, I'm going to have to pull out something bigger to face him. And the last page is this giant splash page of giant Clayface and Batman and this ridiculous steampunk robot facing off with people all the way in the background. It's fun.
They are going to fight.
It's cool to see the things that you love kind of done up and like kind of turned up over the top a little bit in a fun way that you know is just like, oh, they're just doing this Batman After Midnight thing, so they're making them so much more scarier and creepier, and like all of his toys are different, and it's cool to be like, oh, this is a different Batcave, this is a, you know, all the different stuff. It's a fun issue. It's a fun kind of world to get into.
It's creepy.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say.
And you guys would say pick it up?
Oh, yeah,
definitely.
Well, the Joker's just watching it happen.
Yeah.
Joker's just hanging out watching
it. He's got a front row seat. Oh, you didn't know that?
Yeah, he's supposed to be locked up.
He's just eating popcorn and watching Clayface take over Gotham. That's pretty cool.
He's got to be happy about that.
Yeah.
Now, once Clayface takes over, he can do whatever he wants.
Is that true?
Once one of those guys in charge are all friends, they're all going to like, poker, it's going to be a whole party.
You're like, we've taken over the city, let's play poker.
Finally, now that Batman can't stop us, we can finally have our poker game.
Well, they can relax. As a villain, they got to be like, oh, I got to get Batman. And so finally, they can be like,
oh, I got to play poker.
Well, yeah.
Maybe they have a gambling
poker. I don't
poker
think
with
you,
the Joker.
I was trying so hard not to do a lame Joker joke. But you're playing poker.
Got it.
Nailed it.
That's it for the stack.
Alright,
it is time for our next section, which is my favorite section because it's the section you guys make up. It's your audience questions. For that, we're going to go over to Booth Bag.
Booth Bag!
How's it going?
Good.
Booth
Bag.
Welcome back.
Thanks. I always did a photo shoot so that I could stay on the show, and they made me take off my shirt.
What?
Like the Suicide Girls thing.
Yeah,
remember that? It's like the only thing I heard, and then I was like,
Suicide Boys.
Yeah.
You just made $1 million.
Yeah.
Trademarked.
If any of you have any good ideas, trademark them. Out loud.
Just
just decide whether you want to trademark or copyright it. Shout out one of those words.
This question is trademarked, by the way. What was the craziest Silver Age DC story you have ever read?
Bob. I would have to say it's the one where Lois Lane, and it's not an imaginary story, goes back in time, saves Krypton. She finds a technology that will save Krypton.
Beach device.
Yes. she realizes she can't go back. Something about the device she built ruined her time bubble. So she decides that she's going to take Jor-El because Kal-El hasn't been born yet. So she's going to steal Jor-El from Lara. And then apparently Jor-El and Lara do this thing where they meet in a park in the middle of the night and just make out in the dark. It's really anonymous. So Jor-El leaves a message for, this is going to be in a collected edition, this is one of my books I'm trying to get in. Jor-El leaves a message for Lara. Lois picks up the message and meets him instead. So she's making out in the park with Jor-El, and he can't tell the difference because it's dark.
Can that really be true?
It's true. Lara comes, smacks her around a bit, and, you know, calls her a hussy or whatever. Turns out that Lois built the device on Kandor. So Brainiac comes, shrinks down Kandor with a device that saves Krypton, puts it in a bottle, takes it away. So now the device that saves Krypton isn't there anymore. So it's going to explode, but somehow Superman finds out that Lois is back there, goes back in the past and gets her.
Whoa.
That's crazy. That's the craziest story.
Pretty like Shakespearean.
Mm-hmm. Kind of gross.
Yeah. Making out with your boyfriend's dad.
Weird.
Well, we can't talk.
I wonder if...
One thing. There was the one where Superman had a bunch of weird powers back in the day. And one of them was he could shoot a small version of himself out of his hand. And the panel is like, I'm going to go do something else. Save these asteroids. Save the planet from these asteroids. And he shoots out. And then he's like... And he goes to a bar or something.
Crazy. That kryptonite's beautiful.
Yeah.
All right. If any comic series slash graphic novel could be made into a movie or TV show, etc., which one would you want it to be?
Wow. Donnelly?
We already actually did. Yeah, I was going to say. I said this last time I was on the show, but I thought Why the Last Man would make a much better show than a movie.
But it's going to be a movie.
I know. It is. It's going to be a movie. I mean, they made TV shows out of movies before, but in terms of like conceptually how it encompasses the, they have a 4-year arc in the books. They have a lot of twists and turns, a lot of different like years spent in different locations, and a lot of like really kind of like hard goals stuff like that. And then a lot of different people who would make great, fascinating characters if given proper theatrical light. A lot of people would make a lot of different characters make a lot of cool stories. That I don't think is possible to capture in a movie. I think that would be great. Miniseries.
Yeah. There's a series I'm completely blanking on the name of, so this is a terrible example to bring up, but it's set in the Marvel Universe. It had 6 issues. It was kind of manga style about these robots that are fighting evil robots in the Marvel Universe. And it was such a cool story, and I think it would be such a great TV series, such a great way for Marvel to do the Marvel Universe without having to concentrate on these superheroes. It could just be sort of side things, and all you would have to do is deal with S.H.I.E.L.D.
Live Wires.
Yes, thank you. Live
Wires. Nice.
I wish, like, that's why we're all here.
We're a community.
It's the Brian Bolland series from the 80s. Uh-huh. It was a 12-issue miniseries. Anybody remember it?
Came out 3000?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember seeing it on the racks. I've never read it.
Okay.
What was it about?
King Arthur comes back in the year 3000. Earth is being taken over by aliens, and all of his knights are reincarnated and eventually get their memories back and eventually save the world.
There's a way where they could take those last few pages from Suicide Girls and Hackslash and make those into a TV show.
Or maybe like a minute and a half web clip.
Oh, something where I can see it and feel it.
Yeah, rather than actually
just
next time
to be a minute and a half.
Could be longer.
I don't
even
need a
minute. You know what you
can
do?
That's a touche.
Got myself. Or you can just watch it over and 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 over. Yeah, know what I mean?
Pete, what about you?
I would really like to see. Well, see, Hackslash has been made. So, like, everything that I really like is kind of like. I was excited to find out that they're going to do a Goon. The Goon in a animated movie. That's going to be pretty cool to see.
Yeah.
I really like the way Persepolis was done. So I'd like to see more stuff like that where the animation is really kind of looks like a comic. That would be a lot. That would be cool.
Cool. Next question.
Cool. Is Avengers the Initiative or any other title ending in the next year?
Wow. Yes, some titles are ending in the next year.
Tough.
Cool.
No, it's not. That one does
Avengers
well.
The Initiative does very well, as far as I know.
Yeah.
So, no, that's probably not ending.
And somehow, it's not even part of the Avengers family, but it gets lumped in with them. So, I think people just buy and buy it. It's been very good, though.
Yeah.
If you wanted to end, you could just stop buying it.
It's up to you, yeah.
You write your own pedal? Like, you just write the last pedal yourself?
I don't know. I don't know what's... We don't usually know what's ending until we'll know at the same time you do.
Come on.
No, we're insiders.
Come on.
Yeah, you guys, you were hanging out with the guy with the top hat with the Suicide Girl.
This is probably,
it's almost true,
unfortunately, going to be canceled in 9 issues.
Yeah,
there's only 12 issues in the miniseries.
Oh, nice.
That was the trippiest thing I could have said.
Sure. This one's for Bob. What would be your superpower and why?
Oh, my.
Is this the first time you've been asked this?
Well, I'm just trying to clean it up a bit.
Now I want both versions.
The clean version.
I like quantum powers over time and space.
Just time and space.
I just want to control time and space, that's all.
That'll
just that.
Yeah.
All you would like to do is control everything.
Was that the dirty version or the clean version?
Actually, it's both.
Ooh.
Oh, I thought we were going to talk about boners again.
Yeah. You can!
And that's your audience question.
If Booth Man got a boner, I'd be dead.
It is time for our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Woo! Yeah!
talk about, of course, is San Diego Comic-Con.
They're over it.
How did the con go for DC? What was the word around the office?
They're not back yet.
Oh, really?
No. Going to be back tomorrow.
Oh. Is it nice having the office to yourself?
It's great. It's great. I do the risky business thing. Cool. Honestly, they're not back yet. Yeah. I didn't go, and I don't know. I'm sorry.
I think it was pretty good for DC. It's good.
There was definitely one of the most interesting things I think about this year's con was there was very much a split focus, but as opposed to last year, which felt like comic books were a side thing, there was definitely a push to bring comic books back to the forefront. And there was such a difference between the comic section of the floor and the television movie section of the floor. The television movie section floor was horrible because everybody was packed in so tight. This is going to end really badly. And the comic section was like nice and open, and there was nobody there.
Well, you did a really good job.
Yeah.
Nice. Get the word out on comics.
It's sad that people would be like, con, fine, that we can go and just be ourselves and talk about comics. And now there's like the bully down the street of the TV and movies, and comics are like, we're the little brother again.
But there was a lot of the floor, and I think in particular, DC had, both DC and Marvel had really, it was very interesting the focus they gave to the booths.
Yeah.
That DC's booth was huge, and multimedia, lots of giveaways, long lines, all over the place, very much a focus on things like Watchmen, the trailer, going over and over and over again. Marvel, on the other hand, had a very small booth. They had a smaller booth than Dark Horse, but I think the focus was on the signings and the artists, and that was kind of cool in and of itself.
It was cool. Yeah. And DC big announcements, Neil Gaiman doing Batman, everyone flipped for that. It's so cool.
Oh.
He's doing two issues in January, I think. Two oversized issues. Whatever happened to the Caped Crusader is the title. Yeah. Yeah, people love that. They're our shit. It was good, and we had a blast.
Yeah, we had a great time. What was your favorite moment of the cut?
Well, before I get to that, I wanted to say what I really liked was a lot of sometimes, you know, like last year, there was some of the same booths, which I thought was kind of disappointing. But this year, there was a lot of different cool stuff. Like, you know, they had the ship from Watchmen, Owl Ship. There you could go and look inside it, and it was like a prop from the movie almost, and that was pretty cool. And they had Castle Grayskull was there, and oh, man, that was awesome.
He bought an inflatable sword and kept it in the back of his coat all day. The only time he had it out was when he was hitting me in the head.
This is not
it was it was probably one of my favorite moments. Is they were giving away He-Man swords, and I was like, man, I can use that to hit Justin in the head. This is awesome.
Dreams come true at Comic-Con.
Dreams come true. Just, you know, they kept it back here.
Did you do it by the power of Grayskull?
Yeah. I held aloft my magic sword, and then after I said the words, I would hit him in the head.
Yeah, his whole outfit would change. You're wearing this weird belt, with nudie belt.
Yeah, yeah, purple tights. But then
it's gross. It's disgusting.
Favorite moment?
I missed it because I got stuck in traffic. But these guys hosted the Greatest American Hero reunion panel, which I was I was a huge fan of the show growing up. And then we went to their booth, and they were like, William Catt, the guy, the Greatest American Hero, was like, I love your internet show, guys. Oh, it's so great to have you here. And he signed a poster that said, I'm a fan of yours.
Oh.
It was very nice.
And you were walking on air after that?
Certainly.
Believe it or not.
There it is. Also, telling Jim Lee.
I got the small grows, and Alex followed up and got the big grows.
That's good. What I'm here for.
Telling Jim Lee he was the King of San Diego is also a precious
memory. The Outlast, which was absolutely my favorite thing that happened the entire weekend. My second favorite thing that happened was, by Sunday, I was tired to the point of, like, almost crying at certain points, just spontaneously for no reason, because we had slept in 4 days.
We were doing interviews from like 9:30 until 7 or 8, and we had to go to all these parties.
That was terrible. So by Sunday, Justin and I were doing
dead
of
the world.
We were doing a lot of work separately from where Pete was doing interviews.
Yeah,
Charlie, our cameraman, is right in the front row.
Charlie!
Pete was doing other work. We were doing work somewhere else.
What happened was they were like, and I was like, all right, I'll go and handle all the artist alley. which was a lot of fun. I got to talk to a lot of cool people.
Right.
And we finally met up with them when they were at Colleen Coover's table. And Colleen Coover, of course, is doing, she did a great series called Banana Sunday that you should definitely check out, which is awesome, yes. And she's doing backups in a lot of the Marvel All Ages titles, which are also totally awesome and hilarious. So I went up to the booth, asked her some awkwardly worded question because I couldn't really form sentences. Then I asked her another awkwardly worded question again because I couldn't really form sentences. And then she had some books sitting there, and I was like, "Oh, what's that?" And literally like that, like.
And these books, she had all these like nice All Ages stuff, buttons like this one, and then kind of in the back corner of the table. What's this book?
Was this book. And like a baby, I was like, oh, is that? And she said, oh, that's my adult Sonley comic. And I was like, how much is it? And she said, $17. And I was like, That's literally what I did. If you don't think the reason. So at that point, I was embarrassed enough that I had to buy it.
And she kind of went.
Yeah, I managed to gross her out over the thing that she made. Which is ridiculous.
Very
So anyways, this book, Small Favors, which is actually great, which is totally awesome, except for the fact that it's not like hee-hee-hee, adults only, it's literally pornography.
Yeah. Hardcore.
Hardcore pornography.
Alex wouldn't let me read it.
Pete grabbed it out of my hands, and now we should also mention that Pete, whenever we have anything that's even mildly dirty, like Triple X Zombies, which are like, that's a piece of shit, I like Rick Remender, but I hate that.
Well, it's just, feel like it's doing weird sexual things for no reason other than to fucking be grossed out.
Alright. Now, Pete.
Yeah.
So Pete grabs this out of my head.
That doesn't sound like no reason.
This is Pete. Oh, you got this? Why did you get this? And then I was like, if you don't want it, I'll take it out of your hands. And then he's like, wait, I have to find out how it ends.
How this girl fuck party ends. several, actually.
Let's build a machine.
Defend yourself, Pete.
Yeah.
All right, well, it starts off by this girl.
Should we reenact?
Oh, no, please don't.
Just real quick.
No, you can't do this up. Anyway, this girl sinks into the ground and goes to this fairy world and meets another girl, and they fall in love. And my point was, like, yes, all this crazy sex stuff happened. But I wanted to see if she stayed in fairy world or if the fairy came back to her world. That's what I wanted to see. Because the lady who, by the way, the lady who draws this comic is, like, the sweetest, nicest lady. She has glasses. Everything's buttoned all the way up. And she's like, I do a lot of work.
Until you get her by herself.
And, like,
and then she's a fiend.
Yeah.
It's a chunky college diary.
Yeah. In any case, this is a great book. I'd definitely pick it up. Unless... don't get Pete around it.
Wait, let me see that photo.
No, you want to look at the inside, sir.
I don't doubt that this woman has, like, lesbianic tendencies.
She's actually married to a man.
I still don't doubt it.
Open to any page in that book.
Any page.
And don't stand up for 10 minutes.
Okay, I'm just gonna... Oh, it's a strap on that. No, that makes sense. About to make fun of the look of the penis.
This is great. Just to move on a little bit, definitely.
No. Wait, is that what vaginas look like?
That! Yes.
This is accurate. my other favorite part of the con, we're actually going to show you a clip of. It's a little bit of a long clip, but it's something we put up for our web show. It'll do the talking for itself.
Unbelievable, you know, people are carrying into the new Wolverine. I'm not doing that.
It's in the air, though.
I know know you guys are. Everyone wants him on their team. Every, you know, Bendis every minute. It's like, can I use him? Can I use him? I'm like, no, guys. Guys over in Thunderbolts, can I use
he's
him?
He's being sarcastic.
Guys. So, no, it's great fun. It's great fun. I like the fact that he's out there making as much trouble as he makes.
Now, is it more fun for you to work with Red Hawk, or are you still like a Green Hawk?
It's two different things. I love sort of classic Hulk smash.
Yeah.
I like that people are still learning about Red Hawk.
Yeah.
What he's doing, what he's capable of, and he's capable of much care. You guys will see very shortly, I don't know if this is going to air, you guys will see very shortly him take on the Mighty Thor. And I imagine there'll be some dispute among this group as well. So we should actually be able to kick Thor's ass. So that's what's going to happen.
I'd just like to take it back for a second.
Sure.
The Hulk, second page, when you had him punch out Asher, I lost it. I was like, and what was great was I would give you a comment or something, just wait for him to turn the page.
That's it.
It was just,
what I loved was these two guys were sitting there going, What the monster? What the monster? Not, he's not in continuity. What in continuity? He wasn't there last week. What's it mean? The one thing you guys you know about me is everything is for a reason.
And it may take a while in order to do the reason.
Yeah, guys.
I know. Remember what we said? We didn't understand the watch part. Love came all the way back and do that. Over here. You guys going to go over to Heroes with? You can go over there. It's like really cool. They have like level 5 all that stuff. You're selling all kinds of stuff. You wouldn't have to buy it. I mean, just throw it out to you. You can wear the Heroes shirts on the show?
Yes.
Okay, then I will get you Heroes shirts. Right. They say Heroes, they say Buildings. It'd be awesome.
Cool. Bring that over there then, and stay tuned for plenty more from San Diego.
This is the best show on the net. I'm just going to say, if you're buying comics, you need to talk to these guys, because they're going to tell you exactly what to buy.
Good here. You guys are sellouts. You were sellouts.
Here's the thing. We have only shit on Jeff Loeb comics on our show. Alex.
They have.
Yeah. And
not
so we're
guy.
Standing there. We just finished up interviewing
Frank
Cho or something like that. Jeff Loeb runs up and is like, why are you guys always shitting on me?
He totally did that.
And then he was very nice.
Yeah. Huh. That's it. So we love his books now.
-1 integrity.
-1 Hulk 5's coming out. It's great.
Yeah, really great. Really great. We're doing really a lot.
Heroes Villains is coming out. I'm really excited about that.
Well, who's Red Hulk?
He's this great character.
That I love. He's like the Hulk, but red. Isn't that cool?
I know, it's a really innovative writing choice.
Yeah, so like, he exudes heat, I think.
Or he can punch things. That's what I love about him.
Yeah, and he's constantly telling
people what's
how
nice.
He's smarter than Green Hulk.
Yeah, or he's just fluffy for Valentine's
Day. I'm just saying that I love it now. I love everything he
does. Do they combine to make Christmas Hulk?
Wait for it, the holidays aren't here yet. I bet you, although I did think it was bullshit, he's like, you wait, you know me guys, everything makes sense in the end.
Cool, we'll see.
He doesn't watch this.
But to answer your question, Red Hulk is like kind of a bad guy, it's like a Heroes Villains of the Hulk. Which is cool because he's kind of running amok and doing things.
Did you say he's like a Heroes Villains of the Hulk?
Yeah.
He's always towing the party line.
Yeah. But
he's like an Ultimates 3 of the Hulk.
Yeah. he's like the Watch Hero season 3 of the Hulk.
But yeah, it's
just like when Siler finally lets loose.
Yeah.
What's nice is he gets to do things that the regular Hulk wouldn't do or would
like speak with more than 5 syllables in a sentence.
Yes. And punch out the Watcher.
And exude heat. Here's another favorite moment of the con you had, actually. We're going to show one more clip before we end the Week in Geek. Here we go.
What is this? You're making me look like a douchebag.
Impossible.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
though, that's literally the whole movie. That was the entire film.
I'm
going to do a shot for every bullet.
You're dead.
Me and that 10-year-old.
I was with Pete when we were at the panel where we saw this, and he, room of probably 600 people, he's standing up and screaming every time someone gets killed, which was constant. In the middle of this crowd, he's like, yeah! Finally!
Finally! Yeah. Finally, the Punisher shot a gun.
It's going to be the best Punisher movie ever.
That's another of your journalistic integrity homage, right? At some point, the Punisher movies have really set a high bar.
I believe you said at the con, better than Dark Knight.
Yeah, it's going to, well, I mean, how can you not see that and not think it's going to be better than that? The amount of violence and killing you're going to get for your money? Oh.
Okay. No. That's it for the week in Geek. It is time for the next section, which is trivia, and we're going to turn it over to Peter Payne.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Woo. All right, well, this is the part where we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you, Boothman. What we do is we give you a chance to win $25 free for Midtown Comics. All you have to do is raise your hand, and you could win $25 free. Who would like $25 free? Yes, you, sir. First hand up. Come on down.
Nice.
Hey, what's your name?
Steve.
Steve. Audience. Audience. Steve.
Woo!
So this gift card could be yours. So today's trivia is going to be on Trinity. It's So now how it's going to work is I'm going to read you a question, then I'm going to read you three multiple guess answers.
Okay.
Listen to all three, pick the right one. You only have three questions, so all right, here we go. The weekly series 52 was a self-contained series. Trinity, however, will A, be felt throughout the three ongoing titles and vice versa, B, be only partially affected with the three ongoing titles, or C, be better than 52, Final Crisis, and Lion Kingdom musical combined. So, could be C. Jury's not out yet. So it's probably going to be either A or it could be B.
Is that leading?
Uh-oh, he's got you, Pete.
He's trying to help you, dude.
You would say A?
Yeah.
A's correct! Yeah. Okay, in the Trinity comic, Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman, A, lose their powers at the same time, B, have the same dream, or C, have a hard time taking off their costumes to use the bathroom. So it's either A.
B.
B is correct! Two for two. Here we go. This book marks Mark Bagley's DC debut. He worked at Marvel before on which comic? Would it be A, Ultimate Spider-Man for 10 years? Or B, The Amazing Spider-Man for 10 years, or C, Us Weekly for like, oh my God, ever. So it's either A, Ultimate Spider-Man, B, The Amazing Spider-Man. That doesn't make any sense. We definitely know it's not C.
No, not C.
Yeah, not C or B.
A is correct!
You are naturally gifted. Enjoy your $25. All right.
Before we get to our next section, Justin Tyler's going to do a quick thing. If you had one of your questions asked in the Ask a Question round, raise your hand.
Always, yeah. Be honest. This is an autographed 30 Days of Night poster autographed by Ben Templesmith and another guy that we don't know.
And another guy.
There you are.
One for you.
Okay.
Is it
a
question or a
who likes posters.
There we go.
Everybody likes posters.
There you are. It's nice to be in the audience.
Come back.
All right. Yeah, let's switch places for a change.
Yeah. As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they have nice enough to sponsor the show. What are you guys looking forward to, Pete?
Well, I definitely was...
Keep cleaning your pants.
Quit what?
No, never mind.
Okay. I was looking forward to...
We should have been on top of that. That should have been our joke. Sir... You took my job.
Yeah.
We should switch places.
I wish.
We've spent a lot of time.
I would say Scar, Son of Hulk, but I was nice enough to already read it. I am
nice enough.
But
what else have you done for yourself lately?
Most of my stuff to take a shower this morning. That was nice.
No, that was nice to us.
I'm going to say New Diamonds is also coming out, so I'm going to say that.
Cool. Justice Society of America Annual. I knew it. I tricked you.
You did trick me.
That's a Power Girl story. It's
you could
be
say
awesome.
Wolverine.
Don't. Actually, that's... You could say that.
Oh, yeah. Old Man Wolverine. No, that's what they're
that's
calling
the name
it.
Of
that's
Old
Man Wolverine. I'm going to say Robots and Donuts trade paperback. I don't know what it is, but that sounds awesome.
You like both of those things.
I do. I love robots, and I love donuts.
Robotica?
Yeah.
Well, every Wednesday, I take this huge stack of comic books and just throw them on my desk. And it's pretty much everything DC puts out, the new trades and all that, and I just have to go through them.
Such a tough job.
I'm not looking really forward to that, but tomorrow everyone's coming back from the convention, and we're bringing toys, so...
So DC Goes Ape is coming out. Which
yes,
I said
about a month and a half or so.
Okay.
Arthur Adams cover, got to work with him on it. It was truly
Arthur Adams,
cool. Monkeys, superheroes.
And what else should people be looking out for?
That's it, really. Well, out on the stands now. Yes, look out for that.
Yeah, no, really, look out for it.
Leaf nuggets everywhere.
You just rocked some in the world.
Different Easter eggs. Different kind of Easter eggs.
Yes.
You gotta find it.
Joker, greatest stories ever told. I recommend it's out there now.
Yeah.
Amazing Transformations of Jimmy Olsen. I recommend it's out there now. Showcase Presents Batgirl. Love it.
Cool. That's great. Matt.
Mumbai MacGuffin One Shot. And Vampirella Superstar Quarterly set is coming out. And Marara, the Diary of a Pet Wolf thing.
You're writing that, aren't you?
I'm writing it, but I'm looking forward to it coming out.
Yeah.
I'm more impressed that you memorized all three of those things.
That's why I didn't bust in the boner thing. I was too busy rehearsing it.
In your mouth.
My mouth was tied up.
Hey,
and what shows do you have coming up, Matt?
I do a show monthly. I have one coming in August. I came up another day. But I do a show called Threat, and it's a tarot-based comedy. So we do a live audience reading, tarot card reading with an audience member, and we use that as the information for our half-hour comedy set. It's a lot of fun. It's called
cool.
Threat. You should check out the pit calendar. It's probably the coolest show I do.
Cool. All right. A couple little plugs before we go. Next week, we are going to have Chris Giarrusso, of Mini Marvels. And Nate Cosby, who's his editor, and apparently is going to rag him the entire time, so that's pretty exciting.
What
also,
do we do?
Hang out backstage, I guess. Or they could interview us about comics.
Oh, perfect.
Great. Also, check us out three times a week on pulpitsecret.com, ulpsecret.com. And there's a couple of people we want to thank.
Yeah,
sure. We have a bunch of all of our Comic Con coverage will eventually be on Pulp Secret or Newsarama, and we interview all sorts of people.
Yeah.
Who do we want to thank?
We're very tight.
Who do we want to thank?
We want to thank Bob. Every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Please tell your friends good night.
Thanks. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
see you at the bar.
Right,
right on.